You know, I think we all know that feeling. You sign up for something specific, maybe a local library newsletter or a beta test for some software, and then just a few months down the line, your main email address, the one you use for everything, starts getting absolutely hammered with junk. Pyramid schemes, weird offers. It's annoying, sure. But what's worse, honestly, is that sinking feeling when a big company you trusted, maybe even shopped with, announces a data breach, and suddenly your personal email is out there floating around on the dark web. That's not just spam anymore, is it? That's like a permanent dent in your identity's armor.
It really is. It's that moment the cost of all this digital convenience really hits you. You traded a piece of your permanent online identity just to log into some service. So our mission today is basically to give you, the listener, a really solid tool to take back control. We're doing a deep dive into anonymous email forwarding, and we're focusing specifically on the documentation from a key player in this space, Addi.io.
Exactly. This isn't about constantly cycling through new email addresses, which is just exhausting. It's about building, well, like an impenetrable shield around the one you already have. We want to give you a really clear step-by-step guide to how these email aliases work. Make this whole privacy thing feel accessible, you know, so you understand not just how to use it, but why it's fundamentally better than just using those throwaway email sites.
Yeah, the goal is for you to finish this deep dive feeling confident enough to actually set this up, like right away. Put that protective layer in place.
Okay, but before we get into the nuts and bolts, we really want to thank the supporter of this deep dive, SafeServer. They handle the hosting for this kind of software and can support your digital transformation. You can find more information at www.safeserver.de.
All right, let's start right at the beginning. When we say email alias here, what are we actually talking about? Because, you know, a lot of people just think of an alias as like an extra address tacked onto their Gmail or Outlook account. Right, and that's the key difference here. In this context, an alias isn't just another inbox. It's a dedicated forwarding address. It acts as a protective layer, a true middleman, really. It shields your real email address, the recipient, from the websites you interact with. So when you sign up for something, you give them the alias. If they get breached, your actual email address is safe. It's never exposed.
Okay, that's clear. And the guide we looked at, it lays out a pretty simple three-step process to get going, right? Even if this sounds kind of complex at first.
Exactly. Step one is just registering. You pick a username, let's say John Doe for the example. Now, what's crucial here is that this username creates a unique subdomain structure for you, something like at johndoe.annandaddy.com. See that asterisk? That's really important. It signifies a wildcard. It means you don't have to go and manually create every single alias you might ever want to use beforehand.
Ah, okay. And I guess this is where the first bit of discipline comes in for anonymity. You absolutely must choose a username that has zero connection to your real name, your professional life, any other online handles you use.
Precisely. If you use John Doe everywhere else, well, you've just handed over a perfect digital fingerprint linking all these new aliases. You really want something random here. A string of characters, baby.
Got it. Totally random username. So we've got the domain structure set up. Step two is actually creating the aliases. How's this better than a disposable email?
It's the on-the-fly creation. This is the magic bit. Let's say you're signing up for that Vue.js blog you mentioned. You don't need to log into your Addi.io dashboard first. Nope. You just invent an alias right there in the sign-up form, like Vue.js at johndoe.annandaddy.com. The system is smart enough to see that new alias when the first email arrives, and it automatically creates it in your account. Instantly. Zero friction when you need it.
Okay, that is smooth, removes all the hassle, yeah. And the huge benefit, the real payoff. Even though that email lands in my normal inbox, my Gmail or whatever, and I can hit reply, the sender never sees my real address.
Never. It's completely masked by the forwarding service. Your reply goes back through them using the alias address.
Which leads perfectly into step three, right? Management. Control. This is where the power to fight spam and track breaches comes in.
Exactly. This is where you leverage having all those unique aliases.
Okay, let's play it out. I signed up for that Vue.js newsletter with Vue.js at johndoe.annandaddy.com. Suddenly, that specific alias starts getting bombarded with crypto scams from some totally random company.
Right. That tells you immediately. Vue.js either got hacked or they sold your address. Maybe both. Now, in your dashboard, you have two main ways to deal with it. Tactically different. First, you can just deactivate the alias. Flick a switch. That tells the system to silently intercept any more emails sent to Vue.js at johndoe.annandaddy.com and just discard them. Poof. Gone. The sender gets no notification.
Silent discard. I can see the appeal, less noise, but why would I want the second option? The guide says you can also delete the alias. Deleting makes the system reject the email with an error, right? Like, address doesn't exist. Why tell the spammers anything?
That's a great question. It really depends on your strategy. Deactivation, the silent discard, is good if you think maybe the sender will try again. Or maybe you want the original source, Vue.js, to think the address is still valid even while you ignore them. But deleting, that sends a clear bounce message. For automated spam systems, that often triggers them to remove the address from their lists entirely. It saves bandwidth, processing power. It's more aggressive, but it's definitive. Cleans up their lists, potentially.
Oh, that makes sense. Different tactics for different situations. But either way, the main point is crystal clear. Because I used a unique alias just for Vue.js, the second that alias gets unrelated junk, I know exactly who leaked or sold my data, instantly. No guesswork.
That's the real power. It turns a data breach from this vague, scary thing into something actionable. You have concrete information.
And making this even easier day-to-day, the notes mention some handy tools, open source ones.
Oh yeah, they've got native mobile apps, open source, for iOS and Android, so you can manage things on the go. But maybe even more useful is the browser extension. Works on pretty much everything, Firefox, Chrome, Edge, Safari, Brave. And that lets you generate a new unique alias with just like a couple of clicks right when you're on a signup form. No need to think of a name or copy paste anything, super convenient.
Okay, so we've tackled controlling who emails us and figuring out where leaks happen, but there's still this potential issue of, well, who I am. If I have hundreds of aliases, but they're all under at johndoe.anonaddy.com, aren't I still linking everything back to that one John Doe username? If that service got compromised, wouldn't everything be linked? How do I blend in more?
That's definitely the next level of thinking about privacy. And yeah, anonymity options are key. The service handles this mainly in two ways. First, they offer random unique aliases that use a shared domain. So instead of .@johndoe.anonaddy.com, it might look like by 481904@anonaddy.me, total gibberish.
Anonaddy.me, that's the important part, the domain.
Exactly. Because that .me domain, or similar shared ones they offer, is used by everyone on the service who chooses that option. So an alias like by481n904@anonaddy.me cannot be traced back specifically to your John Doe account. You just look like any other user. That's real anonymity from external observers.
Okay, that covers external privacy. But what if I just want to organize things better for myself, keep work and personal stuff separate?
Right, and that's the second option, usually on the paid plans. You can add additional usernames. So John Doe might be your personal one. But you could add, say, Jane Worker B as another username under your account.
Yeah.
Then all your work-related signups use aliases like clientA@jane-worker-b.anonaddy.com. It compartmentalizes everything logically. Only you know those usernames are linked to the same account.
Nice. Okay, let's shift gears to maybe the most advanced feature mentioned, encryption. GPGOpen PGP, that sounds complicated for a beginner. What does this actually do beyond just hiding my email address? Isn't that enough?
It adds another very powerful layer of security. Think of it as your ultimate privacy blanket. Basically, you generate a GPG key pair, a public and a private key. You upload your public key to the alias service. From then on, every single email forwarded to you through the alias service gets instantly encrypted using that public key before it even hits your main inbox.
But why? If it's going to my secure Gmail or Outlook anyway, it doesn't matter. Aren't they already protecting my emails?
Well, this protects you from inbox snooping. If the email content arrives encrypted, only you, with your private key stored securely on your own device, can decrypt and read it. It means your email provider, Google, Microsoft, whoever, literally cannot read the content of those forwarded messages, even if their policies allow scanning or if they suffer an internal breach. You can even choose to encrypt the subject line, too, which often leaks sensitive info. It's maximum obfuscation.
Okay, I understand the why. But practically speaking, does this add a ton of friction? Like, do I have to manually decrypt every single email? Is this only for the super paranoid, technically savvy user?
That's a fair point. There's definitely an initial setup step, generating the keys, configuring your email client. But modern email clients, like Thunderbird or dedicated GPG tools, can handle the decryption pretty seamlessly. Once it's set up, it's mostly automatic. You unlock your key maybe once per session. For people really serious about privacy, that initial setup is a small price to pay for knowing nobody but them can read their mail.
That helps put it in perspective. And there was this tiny detail in the docs about replying when using GPG. Something about stripping the public key. Why is that important?
Oh, yes. That's crucial. It's about preventing accidental self-doxing. Your public GPG key often contains metadata embedded within it, typically your real name and your real email address. If the alias service didn't automatically remove your public key when you replied from an alias, you'd be broadcasting your hidden, real email address with every reply. It completely undermines the alias. Stripping the key is a vital little detail that shows they understand operational security.
That kind of attention to detail is definitely reassuring. Okay, before we wrap up, let's quickly touch on the practical side. They offer a free plan, right? Seems pretty generous.
It really is, especially for a privacy-focused tool. The free tier gives you unlimited standard aliases, the ETA at your username, dot whatever kind, and lets you forward to one main recipient address. The main limits are bandwidth 10 millibees a month, which they figure is about 140 average emails. And you get 10 of those shared domain aliases, the anonymous dot at anonaddy.me type. If you need more bandwidth or want to forward to multiple real addresses or use custom domains, then you look at the paid plans.
And for people who are naturally wary of trusting any third party, especially with privacy, the whole thing is open source.
Correct. Full transparency, you can audit the code yourself. And if you're technically inclined, you can even self-host the entire application on your own server. Take complete control. They also mentioned their infrastructure primary server in the Netherlands, running on wind power, backup in Poland. That level of transparency is good to see.
So putting it all together, this knowledge really is quite powerful. You can basically build this flexible digital shield, pinpoint data leaks the moment they happen, kill spam with surgical precision, and even use strong encryption, so literally only you can read your emails. That's a huge step up in control.
It absolutely is. It moves you from being just a passive target online to someone actively managing and protecting your digital identity. It's very empowering.
Now, one interesting thing we noticed reviewing the source material, while it's all about privacy protection, they do have terms and conditions designed to prevent abuse. For instance, they explicitly say, don't create multiple free accounts. And interestingly, they warn against using aliases to create large numbers of accounts on other websites. That sounds like an anti-botting rule.
That does raise an interesting point for you, the listener, to think about. We've spent this whole deep dive talking about the technical ways to boost your privacy and security using these tools. But where's the line? Where does legitimate, necessary privacy protection end and potentially abusing the service according to their rules begin? Something to definitely mull over as you start using aliases yourself.
A very interesting thought to end on. We really hope this deep dive has brought clarity to anonymous email forwarding and shown you how to take back control of your inbox. And thanks once more to our supporter, SafeServer. They're dedicated to hosting and digital transformation. Find out more at www.safeserver.de.